Thanks, Jared. Well, all right. Well, we are in the third week of a series called Enlighten. And if you remember, enlighten is a word that means to shed light on something, to bring light into a situation. And the reason we named it that is because the Bible, when it speaks about you and it speaks about me, it says that you have been put here. Listen to me. Here we go. You have been put in this school and on the teams and in this city with the purpose that you would shine. It's not random. It's not because your parents ended up here and you were born and you moved and on, but it is with incredible purpose. And so you've been put here to enlighten. So the challenge was for 4 weeks in a row that you would go out and that I would go out, and that in this month you would have a conversation in a spiritual way with someone who you do not know as a Christian. And if we did that, 300 conversations would take place. And who knows what might happen. And so that's the challenge going forward. And it's been the whole series is about that idea that you have been put here because there's people that don't have hope and they don't know the message of the Father who loves them. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. But before I kind of move in that direction, there's some pictures that I think will help us see this. One of them, David showed, or Rossbach, excuse me, creepily showed a couple weeks ago. This is among my more embarrassing pictures. I don't know why I was on this my friend's shoulder. I've got long hair. There's all kinds of questions I have to ask myself when I live it. But what was going on here is, and we can take that down. You can get it off of there. Okay, leave it at. What was going on there is that I was in Africa for a summer. So I spent a summer and I got to spend time in Eastern Africa, a country called Uganda, and kind of live in a village with some friends of mine and with just kind of the people in that village. And so I brought all kinds of pictures, but that was one of them that was taken there. There's some other ones that just show us in there. Show should be one with, boom, there's one. Maybe another one. Oh my gosh, cute kids. But okay, so my point is this. In that summer, here's what I saw in Uganda. And if you've traveled in Africa or really other parts outside of United States or outside of just kind of touristy spots, what you're going to find is there is a world that is incredibly different than the one that we know, right? So you're going to find that people eat differently, and especially in Uganda, when we were there, people lived differently. The houses looked different. The food was different. The languages were different. The people all dressed differently. Everything about this country was so different. And when we went into this city, there's a city called Kampala. It's like the D.C. It's their national capital. And when we were there, Kampala is among probably the more frightening experiences I've ever had in my life, because the chaos that exists in this city, it's just insane. I mean, everywhere that you go, you're driving on the streets, there's no stoplights, people on cars, there's dirt roads, they're driving this way. It's just kind of like an all-terrain free-for-all. You drive wherever you want, you're going, there we go. Great example where people are like, what is this, a sidewalk? Let's drive on the sidewalk. Here we go. What is it? Motorbikes, in and out. There's cabs that, in America, if you get into a cab, there's three seats. So they're like, we have room for three people. In Uganda, if you get into a cab and there's three seats, they're like, we have room for 12 people. And so you're smashed in together. And every experience about this country was crazy different. And so we spent a good amount of time there and got to know all these different people and this different way of life. But amidst the chaos, there was one day where because we were Americans, we were in the country, we got to go to something called the United States Embassy. And some of you know what an embassy is, and some of you might not, but I'll just explain it. At the embassy, every major country in the world, America, our country has land and like a building that they have someone called an ambassador, which is just like a representative for the United States, that they pay to live in that country. And so we got to go to the U.S. Embassy. There's one in Uganda. There's one in France. They're just all over the place. We got to go to that building and that place and got to spend time with this ambassador for the United States. And he's been put there to represent, to speak for, to bring our way of life and kind of start to implement it over there and to bring about change and bring about just kind of the means between us and them in this country. Happens everywhere. My point is this, when we went to that embassy, you see this picture? Go back to the one before with the traffic. Go back to, look at that. Literally, you'll drive down the road that looks like this, and you'll turn right, and you'll go into this gated community, or this gate, huge gate, and put it back up there. And this is what you see. It's unbelievable. Isn't that a huge change? I mean, it's insane. It's like, it's literally, you're going down the road, and all of a sudden you turn, you go into these gates, And everything changes. And you're like, huh, I'm back in Dallas. This feels like I'm back at home. This is crazy. And my point is this, everywhere that that ambassador went, and everywhere that he lived and that he worked, there was change. Because he brought the values and the differences of his way of life. And even amidst the chaos of the surrounding world around him, that's what you find. I didn't see grass the entire time. It's like putting green grass on this thing. I didn't see anything like that. It was unless you're like out in the bush with jungle experiences, but we didn't see anything like that with the grass. And then all of a sudden you turn the gate and you go in here and you're eating Coke and candy and everyone speaks English and you're like, where? I just like stepped out of a vortex of another world and you enter into it and everyone's American. And it was just crazy. And we began to talk with the ambassador, and he tells us about just kind of all the change that they're seeing take place in there and just all of the lives that are being affected by the way that our country is helping to bring about change. I tell you that because there's a place in the Bible when it talks about you and it talks about me and it talks about the people of God, it calls you that same word, ambassadors. It says that everywhere that you go, in the life that you live, in the places that you go to, you are a representative for a country and for a place that is far away. And you have been put on location where you are with the purpose that you would shine and that you would bring the values and the life from this other kingdom far away to that place. In fact, 2 Corinthians is what I'm talking about, where Paul, is, again, we've talked about Paul before, he's just an old, was one of the early church founders. And here's what he says. After talking to this church in Corinthians about who they are in this new creation in Christ, he says, and because of we've been recreated and become Christians, we are Christ's, me and you, are Christ's ambassadors. And God is making his appeal not through other people or not through books or not through places and churches and church buildings, but he makes his appeal through you and me. In the lives that we live, in the words that we use, and here's what he says, that we speak for Christ when we say, come back to God, come back to your Father who loves you and cares about you. And that's why you've been put where you are, to enlighten as an ambassador. And to bring hope. And it's not random. And your friends and your neighbors are not random. That you are an ambassador. And here's what's important to note about an ambassador. The definition of an ambassador is an agent or a messenger or a representative. And what's huge that you got to know and I got to know is that in order to be a good ambassador, because regardless of whether you want to be, you are one. In order to be a good one, you got to know the messenger, you got to know the message that you're supposed to give out, right? And so in order to be a good messenger, of course, you got to know your message. And so this morning, as ambassadors, all I want to do is real quickly talk about one of the places in Scripture all of you probably have memorized or have at least heard numerous, numerous times, where Christ is asked, what is God all about? Tell us, what is the story of Christianity? If we decide to follow you, being born again, the kingdom of heaven, you claim to be someone from God. Tell us what God is about. This Bible is huge. It's got all kinds of rules. There's goats being cut up in the Old Testament. I don't understand. What is God all about? And he's asked this question by a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who was called the ruler of Israel. He was a guy that was just, he was the professor of Israel. He knew all the right answers. He'd study it. He knew the Bible backwards and forwards. He went to Christian schools. He had memorized most of the Bible. He knew all the right answers. And he hears about Jesus. Stay with me. He hears about Jesus and he goes to him. And he goes to him at night, it tells us. So they're probably sitting around a fire. And he says, look, Jesus, I've heard about you. I've heard that you are clearly one from God. You're doing miraculous things. And I'm a teacher of Israel. I feel like we should have a conversation and we should make sure we're both on the same page here about what God is all about. And they begin to speak about the kingdom and they kind of just converse sitting around a fire at night. And here is what Jesus says to him in response, that you want to know what God is about. I know that you've heard about religious things and church things and a million other things. And you've heard, like so many people in our world have heard, what God is quote unquote all about. And this is, hear me right now, before I give you the message, this is why it's so important that you understand the message of Christianity. Because if you walk out these doors, you're going to interact with people who think it's about confirmation, who think it's about baptism, who think it's about praying a prayer, or a numerous other things that most aren't even bad, but they're just not what it's about. And so Jesus, sitting across from Nicodemus, looks this man in the eyes and says, all of the things that you've been doing, they're not even bad things, but let me tell you what God is about. Because somewhere along the lines, the message and what we were put here and the people of God were put here to deliver and what God is about has kind of got distorted. So let me tell you what it's about. And he says this. He says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son up. That he couldn't sit still any longer. That God immediately, you want to know what he's about, he could not sit still and let them go astray, but he gives out of that love. You want to know, you're going to spend all of your life in church, and this is not seminary stuff. Some of the leaders around you and some of the people in this church have gone, this isn't seminary stuff. If you want to know what the message of Christianity and what God is about for the rest of your life, God loved people and the world so much that he gave his only son, and that everyone who believes in, and that word believes is the same word originally for trust, that everyone who trusts in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And in that minute, when he releases those words and he tells Nicodemus, look, I know that you know the entire Old Testament front and back. You claim to know exactly what God's about, but let me tell you how you have missed it. Because if you want to know the story of God, here it is. God loved and God gave, and you believe and you will receive. You want to know what God is all about. And learning the rest of the Bible and learning baptism and going through confirmation and a million other things are not even bad things, and Christian schools are not bad things. But you want to know what God is about. God loved. And so he gave. And there's more that you can add around that, but everything else is not central to this. And that's why that's so huge. And I know we've heard it a million times. But this is the message. God loved. And God gave. And trust. That God, for hundreds of years, they thought was trying to take something from people. Do this. Don't do this. Oh, don't drink. Don't have fun. Don't do that. On and on and on and on and on. And he says, no. Let me tell you what it's about. He's not trying to take. God gave. That he stepped in at one point in time and said, let me tell you what it's all about. God loved so much that he gave. And you sit around people every day that don't understand this. And so many people will reject Christianity, but many others will reject what they think is the message of the cross. And they don't reject that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might... They don't reject the true message that God loved, God gave, but they reject what they think is this, I can't do this, if I become a Christian, I can't... All of those things. So it's not that change won't happen, but that's not what being a Christian is about. And if you ever become a Christian, or if you have become a Christian, it happened the moment that you did this. You said, I trust. I recognize that my life is filled with mistakes and sins and errors that I'm not happy about and I'm not proud of and I wish I could do over and I can't do anything about them. I know that if there is a heaven out there, I am not deserving of it. And so if I'm ever getting in, I trust you with that. And the minute that happens, God says that there's this Holy Spirit that comes in and all this change begins to slowly unfold in your life. But even the changes afterwards are not what it's about being a Christian. It's about trust. And that's the story. And that's the good news. And the reason, stay with me right here. I know it doesn't seem this way. Here we go. Give me your eyes right here. Here we go. The people that you're around, they don't understand this. It's like telephone. You remember playing telephone when you were a kid? And I say something to you, and you say something to him, and her, and he changes it intentionally, and then we go all the way around, and it's like, I like ice cream, and you like to scream, and just it just kind of unfolds differently. And a lot of times, that's kind of the message that begins to get changed. And it had begun to be changed, and Jesus looks this really religious person in the eyes. And he says, here's the story. God loved. God gave. And whoever believes will receive. And if you are going to take any message to anyone out there, if anyone ever asks you the question, hey, what's it mean to be a Christian? It's simply that idea that I can't do anything. But everything has already been done. And here's the tragedy that is really heartbreaking. The Bible says that everyone in this world has this disease. And it's a disease that's more deadly than cancer, and it takes more lives away than any other disease that there is. It's more destructive than anything you've ever experienced, and it's more contagious than any disease that we know of. And it's a disease called sin. And it's the sin, it's the same disease, it's sin that keeps, it makes it so hard for you to get along with your siblings. And it's the sin that destroys the marriages of our parents or of ourselves. It's the sin that destroys the lives. It's sin that sends people in jail. It's the sin that has taken the lives of people, of my friends. And here's what's the tragedy, is that you hold in this idea of trust the cure. That all of the world has been, what Jesus said, enslaved to sin. And when you trust Christ, there is this breaking of the chains that takes place, and not everything immediately goes away, but you hold in that message of hope the cure. And most of us will never say anything. But we'll go about our lives and we'll be silent ambassadors who never speak and we never open our mouths. And think about it. If you had this cure sitting at home and one of your close friends got some disease, how crazy would it be if you did not share it with him? How crazy would it be if he found out, how could you not share this with me? It wasn't like you were running out and you didn't have enough. How did you not ever tell me? And you have been put and given the message you have, that you would go and enlighten your world. The clearest picture I've seen of this is I have a friend who I got the chance to go on a trip with. His name's Jonathan, and he works at Watermark, and he was speaking somewhere south of Dallas. And so one Friday afternoon, we got in the car, and we drove, and we kind of stopped at this place. We got there early, and so he wanted to prepare his message. We looked for a Starbucks. We couldn't find one. We stopped at a gas station. Yep. A gas station. So we go inside this gas station, and there's like slot machines. I'd never been to a gas station with slot machines, but for whatever reason, we had them at this one. So we stop, and we sit down at this table, and we kind of, he begins to get ready for his message, and we're just talking a little bit back and forth. All of a sudden, with me, we're inside this gas station. All of a sudden, this guy comes in, who's probably, I don't know, middle-aged. He's bald-headed. He's wearing a wife beater. He's like tatted up, and just he's been in the weight room. He's a guy that you do not want to mess with. And so we begin to watch him, and he goes over to these slot machines, and he's just sitting there like Con Air. He's just playing the slots and just look like he would destroy a brother. So he sits down. We're watching him. We're talking. JP, or Jonathan, leans up to me, and he says, bro, can you imagine? 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. You get out of work early, you stumble over to the local gas station, just playing the slots, staying away from the wife and kids. Man. Which we didn't know any of this. He's completely judging him. He's completely making all kinds of, and I'm like, yeah, man, it's crazy. So we were way off there, but so that's the story. We're sitting there and we're watching him right here. At some point, I get up to go get some gum, and I go to the counter, and there's a woman named Cindy at the counter with me. So it's me, Jonathan, this guy, Cindy. I go get gum at the counter. And I walk up to Cindy, I'm giving her the gum, and I say, Cindy, and what I said, I've said before, and she gives me a response unlike any response I've ever gotten before. I said, Cindy, when was the last time somebody told you that God loved you and God cared about you and that Christ loves you and Christ cares about you? And all the responses I've ever gotten from this question have been like, unlike the one that she gave me, I'm about to say it to you. But she looks at me and she says, not that long ago. And I'm like, what? Every time you ask this question, of course, people are like, or they don't even know because they've never been told about this. And she looks at me and she says, not that long ago. And I'm like, okay, well, what? Tell me about that. And she points over my shoulder. She goes, see that guy back there? She points back to the Con Air guy playing the slots. And she points back to him, and I look back and she says, that's James. James comes in here at least once a week and tells me that. Tells me about Jesus. Tells me about God. We talk about it sometimes. And I'm like, I don't even know what to think at this point. I'm just like, I'll take my gum. Thank you. And oh my gosh, the Con Air guy. And so I go back and end up getting into a conversation with Jonathan and with James. And here's the deal. James swings a hammer for a living, literally works on the railroad. I've been working on the railroad, literally what the dude does. And James comes in there every single week and he plays the penny slots just as an excuse to talk to Cindy. And not talking like a romantic way. I'm not even going to go down that road, actually. Not talking a romantic way to her. But she said, oh my gosh. Not talking to her. But he comes in, stay with me. He comes in just for the purpose that he could tell her as an ambassador, you need to know about my God. You need to know that he loves you and that he cares about you. And so here's the message. We're going to say it real quick and then you'll get out of here. So tomorrow, whenever you are at school or you're wherever you are, it probably won't happen at TCA or other Christian schools, but it might happen somewhere. So here, if anyone ever asks you, here's the question of Christianity. It is, we believe, repeat it after me, we believe. Here we go. That is so weak. That is unbelievable. Repeat it after me. We believe.
We believe.
And we receive.
We receive.
Oh my gosh, I missed the first line. God loved. Stay with me. Here we go.
God loved.
And God gave.
God gave.
And we believe.
We believe.
And we receive.
And we receive.
You can add on and on different parts that we need to grow in, but if you ever learn what being a Christian is about, it's that moment you say, I trust. It's not about praying a prayer. Ugh. Praying a prayer. That's just a picture of you saying, I believe. And in that minute, and in that moment, everything changes. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go and ambassador our way through this world. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the guys and girls in this room. We praise you for Christ. We praise you that he came and that you loved and you were not absent and you couldn't sit by, but you loved and you gave. And that simple truth is what sets us free. That simple truth is what the entire message that we are to bring and that you brought us is. We love you and we praise you for Christ. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.